Hi, everybody. Welcome to Road to War, episode 20?
One.
21. One. Episode 21. Why can I never remember what episode we're on?
No idea.
I'm Nick.
I guess I'm Will.
I'm Michael.
And today, we are going to be talking about...
Stuff nobody cares about.
I don't know. I care about it. I think it's a good topic.
I care about it, too, actually.
We're going to talk about how to play a good, high-level...
Clean
game of War Machine.
It's going to be really boring, so you guys should just stop listening now.
It might be one of our drier topics for sure.
No, I feel like, I don't know. It's kind of a dry topic, but I feel like there's a passion here for that.
Yeah, there is, because we all like to see games going cleanly and not seeing rules disputes coming up and having to have the judge come over and settle ridiculous stuff.
It's true.
Actually, I fucking love watching rules disputes. Like, I never want to be
involved. That's because you're a drama queen.
But, you know, I love me some good gamer drama.
Yeah. I mean, like, so let's start with the basics. The basics, the TO will pretty much announce them every time, at the beginning of every turn.
And like, what is that called?
The Hacksaw Talk.
Uh-huh.
If you go to any major convention, I'm sure you've heard it before, it's what, Andrew, usually says at the beginning of every tournament, and that just basically involves, measuring cleanly, getting your opponent's consent or agreement before you do anything.
Basically it's the 30-second version of, the 20-minute discussion we're about to have.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So I just kind of want to kick this off, but each of us listing are, like, when an opponent does something and you're just like, oh, God, I hate it when people do that. What is that, Nick? What is it for you?
What is it for me? For me, that's got to be the quick charge measure where they're just like, they put it down, they're like, I'm in, and they move the model. You're like,
huh! Like, maybe you didn't make it.
Yeah. Honestly, because like, there have been times, and I'm not going to say I've never done that, because you're like, sure. Well, obviously I'm in. But it's like, you know.
Like that game we played where I was like, this guy's got it. And I put the tape measure down, pick up the model, and I'm like, oh, maybe he didn't have it.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
well.
It's just like, just take that extra second and put the tape measure down and get the nod from your opponent, and it will save you headaches.
The other thing.
And we'll talk about that more later, I'm sure.
I mean, the other
Mike,
thing,
what do you hate?
Okay. The thing I hate the most is whenever people use dice for focus. Or fury management.
Sure, that's
this
a terrible
one has six.
Idea.
It's like, yeah, man, I don't want you to do that. He's like, come on, man, but I'm just gonna use these dice and I'm gonna move. He's like, nah, I really.
I mean, actually, related to that, people who use d8s to mark damage on like bastions and things like
that. I'm okay with that.
I don't like that either because it's so easy to knock a die.
Sure, but it's also much more clear to your opponents which one's damaged and how much damage is on each one.
Sure.
Without them having to look at
the card. And with Bastions having the Bond of Brotherhood thing, it can get... Like, I find that usually easier than having to ask them every chance. But the people that use dice for Focus and Fury is just...
Well, I mean, for one, you can't actually do
that. Well, yeah, that's true.
Like, and in the tournament rules, you have to use tokens of some sort, and they have to be on the models.
Exactly. And that brings me to my... Is the second part, which is the people that put Focus or Fury on the cards that they're using, like, oh, I don't want to clutter up the table, or I don't think it looks cool. It's like, I don't care, man. Like, it just... Because there have been a couple games where I'm like, okay, he has no focus, and I'll just charge into assassin. He's like, I'll transfer, and I'll look at the stack on the cards, like it has six transfers. Like, oh well, this game's over then. I'm an idiot.
And that goes for buffs too.
Yeah,
you know, don't put the buff tokens on the card in the back.
Yeah, for me, it's when people declare charges while they're in base to base with other models. Like you have your shield wall unit.
They just.
Well, exactly, but nobody ever gets it.
Oh, okay.
So you're like, what are you talking about? Like, if you have two models in base to base, there's like...
They can go in an exact straight line.
Yeah, they can only go so far to one side before they immediately just hit the other model and stop.
There are tangents there.
Exactly. And basically, so many people don't get
basically
that.
Basically, if they're both base to base, they only really have 90 degrees on which they can charge.
Correct, instead of 180.
Yes.
And that's what bothers me, because people are just like, oh, well, he charges. I'm like, cool, he fails. And they're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And then I look like a dick.
And then, then they're playing Xerxes and they're like, martial discipline.
And then I do look like a dick again, but for a completely different reason.
Actually, so before we get into the nitty gritty, there's one thing that I want to say about this whole discussion.
Okay.
That I feel like everything we're about to talk about boils down to.
Yeah.
Make sure you and your opponent agree on the game state.
Correct.
If you are ever in a situation where, like, you think your opponent is trying to run two models base-to-base with the flag, but, you know, you're not sure if they actually put the second one base to base with the flag because there's a little pubic hair, you know, that you can see. You ask your opponent, you say, did you intend to put that base to base with the flag? Because anytime you're sitting there thinking, ha, he doesn't see that or he doesn't realize that, you are just setting yourself up for a disagreement later on.
And that's the other corollary to that is intent and game state are two very different things. And the way a lot of people play, especially casually, is, like, they go off intent. Like, whenever we're practicing, if it's like, if I meant them to be in base to base, it's like, and if I lose the game if they're not, or if I'm trying to get them to contest into a flag, and I just mess something up, it's like, well, yes, like, I meant to run him his full distance, and I just got, like, rushed or forgot about it or just something. It's like,
well,
that's and that's okay in practice, but it's like, in a tournament game, like, that's really just not okay.
See, I'm gonna disagree. I've played a lot of tournament games where, a little bit of that is alright. Like, you know, if, once again, if you have a shield wall unit that's in shield wall, and there's like, you know, a little sliver of space between them,
the intent is obvious.
The intent is obvious that they're in base to base.
And the thing is, if you're a gracious opponent, like, I think all of us would be like, yes, I can see that you're, but you shouldn't expect it is the problem.
That is definitely
true. My point. Is some people will really just try and lure you out of it.
See, I think that's up to some things though. Like, these two models are in base to base. Sure, I can understand that intent. I meant to contest this flag. That's a completely different story to me.
Yes, that's true.
Like, and even I meant to be in base to base with the flag is a completely different story with me. Yes. Which is why I always, like, whenever I do anything, I'm like, he's in base with this guy. Or I'm gonna base this flag. Or if my opponent does something shady or slightly less clear, is that guy supposed to be blank?
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Yeah, so communication, like, is really key here, is being open with your opponent, asking them what they intended to do, and then trying to be very clear with what you intended to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just courteous and nice.
I agree. It makes for a much, much more pleasant game. I mean,
mm-hmm.
War Machine is not fun if it's a contentious game, as far as, like...
Completely agreed.
Every rule, or every charge, or every, you know... If there's an argument over everything, the game is not fun. Nobody has fun unless you're a giant doucher, and if you have fun by making other people hate themselves and playing the game, you should just quit now, because I don't want you in this game.
Correct. And honestly, if you're that much of a jackass, you'll probably get run out of the game by everyone else if you're going to try and do stuff like that.
It's true.
But yes.
So, anyways.
So just some general do's and don'ts.
Sure.
Shall we go through that?
Yes.
Always mark spells with tokens that have the spell name written on it.
Yes. This is, back in Mark 1, when Privateer Press didn't make their own sweet token set, some of you might remember War Cogs.
Oh god.
Which were simultaneously the best and worst things ever, because they had kind of appropriate drawings on them for what you were trying to make them do, but
everyone assigned a different token to a different thing.
And some people, like, would write it down, saying, see, I've written down this means this, this means this, and this means this. And then some other person would be like, well, I'll just tell you what it is at the beginning of the game. You're like, okay. And then just like, this warp wolf is warping for strength. It's getting forced evolution, and it has some animus on it. There's three tokens on it now, and you didn't know what they were. But since now, like, everyone has at their disposal tokens, like, you definitely need to make sure that it's clear what spell is on who.
Back in the dark times of Mark 1.
Yes,
and, like, the letter T does not stand for tenacity. I don't care who you are or what it is. Like, writing the first letter of a spell name does not mean you have marked that spell.
Yeah.
Like, you need to write at least, like, the phonetic spelling or something.
Really? I don't know. I kind of disagree with that. Because there are lots of, like, if I'm playing Makeda, I can, you know, pretty easily put S for Savagery, D for Defender's Ward, and...
Sure, but why wouldn't you put, like, Def W?
Because it won't fit on the token, and it's a lot easier... If with just the DW, it's a lot easier to read from the other side of the table.
I guess, but you still get the DW. You just have D squiggle W.
Okay, I don't know that D squiggle W is really any more illuminating than DW.
Fair, but I don't know. I try to write out as much as I possibly can.
I don't know, I feel like as long as it's uniquely identified within your army, then you're probably okay. Like, if you have two things that start with T, then you should probably clarify that.
Fair enough. And don't ever write, like, Stalker Animus. Right, Lightning Strike.
Sure. Yeah.
Because not everybody knows what the Stalker Animus is, or what it does, or anything like that. That's a bad example, because it doesn't actually do anything on your opponent's turn, but still.
Paralytic Aura.
Sure. At least put, like, PA, not Crea Animus.
Sure. Well, I would put PA, because that's...
Sure. At know, least PA. Easier.
Really, the confusing thing to do would be to write KA for Crea Animus.
Yeah. You're like, what the hell is going on with these tokens?
Don't do that.
So always mark your spells and effects with tokens. And I mean always. Like, whenever I judge an event down here in Texas, if there's no token, You didn't do it. I don't care if the focus adds up that said you did it. You didn't do it.
I think that's generally the rule in most tournaments. Like, because if it becomes he said, she said, a good judge can't call it. Like, the judge has to call based on, like, what is on the table.
Correct. Correct. So it's super important, especially if you're coming to War Games Con or anything, and I'm going to be head judging there. Yeah, put your tokens out.
And anything you can do, once again, to increase the clarity of the game state is golden. Like, Will used to have these little, painted, like, soul thingies.
Yep.
With different colors that whenever his beast lost an aspect, he'd just plop one down next to it so that he remembers that that aspect is out and his opponent knows that that aspect is out and it makes the game more clear and still everybody has more fun.
Yes. It's all about having fun here, ladies and gentlemen. And winning.
There you go.
Those are the two important things of the game. Yeah. this actually brings me to my next point, is whenever I'm marking damage on a Warjack or a Warbeast or anything and like a system goes down, I will announce that to my opponent, be like, Cortex is out, or Body is out, or Left Arm is out. And then that not only verbally makes you remember it a little better, but it also lets your opponent know that that's out. And that can really sort of, because there's a lot of problems that I've found in tournaments where like, people will charge with things that don't have a movement system.
See, I can't tell you how many times I've been watching a game and I see somebody, like I'm watching them mark their damage card and the movement goes out and their opponent buys another attack and rolls like a 4 and they're like, you missed. And I'm like, your movement is out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just being clear with your opponent is very important and there's a lot of little ways you can do that. That's another one of them. We talked about focus allocation, not using dice, which is,
not using dice.
No, like, you can use anything else. Like, I've seen people, like, use poker chips, people use, like, Lego pieces, like, as long as it's something that's easily, you can't, like, roll your dice and then be like, oh, I lost it, which one was it? You're like, oh my
God. There's just a bunch of problems with using dice. One of them is rolling dice, one of them if it gets bumped, and then, like, if you use number of dice, then there's just little piles of dice everywhere on the table.
Yeah.
And that's awful. And then, ugh.
One thing I like to do that is, you know, by no means required, but I have different tokens for Fury on Beasts and Fury on my caster.
Yes, I know Jake does that as well.
It just makes everything easier for me.
He actually even has a third one, which I don't know if you do, but he has one that's like Fury on Forsakens.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you could do that for Agonizer
sure.
as well.
I think.
Actually, what I was just thinking I should do is I should get a couple different colors of beads so I can use a different color of bead for every beast.
Yeah. Because what Jeremy Lee does, who's one of our meta players, he has different focus for the racks on the table, so he'll know, like, if he's actually pulled one from it.
Yeah, and he has one for, like, the Hierophant coupon exactly. and everything.
So he'll have one for each one.
And he has a different one for his avatar.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Clean play. Clean play in general.
The other thing I wanted to mention as a connection to what Nick said, which is always make sure you have the distance. The one that kind of gets overlooked sometimes is always make sure, if you're charging, if you're trying to get that boosted damage roll, to make sure you can make 3 inches. Cause that's the one that you, cause it's like, if it's obvious that you're gonna make charge lane, like a charge, like make it into melee, it's like, alright, a lot of people, and I'll do this myself also, like, I'm charging, I'll move all of them, and then my opponent will say, well, I'm pretty sure some of them were not 3 inches away, so some will get the charge bonus, but then by then you've already moved all of them, it's like, well, I guess none of them got the charge bonus, I guess.
Yeah.
And you just had to roll, so it's like, it's one of those things that you really want to make sure that is kind of the
one of the finer points of the game.
It's the less seen side of making charges. It's to make sure you get the minimum distance.
So just also on the topic of charges, so I've had some bad experiences in the past in tournaments where I'll be playing somebody who declares a charge, but doesn't have a clean charge lane to go where they want to. So when you're declaring charges, make sure that you're actually able to get a straight charge lane without intersecting any models.
It's not even that so much, because I have a lot of people that will, like, they have a model and there's a model kind of between us, but they can definitely charge, and then they'll put it as if they went through the other model.
Yeah.
Like, once again, you can perfectly make that charge, I don't care. Just put it in a way so that you don't intersect that other model.
Well, so the game that I play that I'm talking about, like, you know, this guy wanted to charge a gladiator through, I mean, there was a hole, there was definitely a hole that he could fit through to get this charge onto my gladiator, but he wanted to charge at such an angle so that after the charge he could buy attacks on my caster, which there was no way that angle existed. And I was like, dude, you don't have that charge angle. You can go to here and that works fine, you know, but that's not going to work. We called the judge and, you know, the judge said, put this down. He put it down where he wanted to go. I was like, dude, that's not going to work. You're going to run into this model. And he was like, no, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to go. And he was like, that's what I'm doing. And then I was like, all right, judge, does he have that charge lane? And the judge was just like, no, he runs into that model. And then my opponent scooped up his models and left angry, which I didn't feel good about. But
I mean, his big problem was, and this I think came from just a lack of understanding the game, was his argument was there was a model of the same base size right there before. The only problem was it was in a position such that
the angle changed.
Well, yeah, it was pretty much like the shield ball situation where you have to go through straight in order to get through. Like, you can make it, but you have to go that way. It's like, no, man, I can just go through. It's like, no, you can't. Sorry, dude.
So yeah, just make sure you actually have the charge lanes to get where you want them to go.
Yeah. Also, never move anyone else's model unless they ask you to or you have an effect that moves it for them. Like, if somebody's like, I'm going to do this, and you pick up their model, like, you should probably just get disqualified. One of the situations that arose with me is I was playing Jason Watt and Gen Con.
Yeah, that was a messy situation.
It was not good for anyone, and it was really uncomfortable for me, and I'm sure it was for him, too. We talked about it afterwards. But, like, I triggered a Warpath move with my Gorax to try and get it to his caster, and I moved it, like, 2 inches, and then he picked it up and moved it the last inch while I was looking for a little 1-inch widget tool. And I immediately called Judge and was like, blah, blah, blah. So it just creates bad situations that nobody can really predict how they will outcome, and nobody enjoys that.
There's really no way to unwind that.
Yeah, like, we're done. This game is now ruined because, yeah.
Well, it's like it's irreparable board state.
Mm-hmm. So never move anyone else's model unless they A, ask you to, or B, you have an effect that allows you to do it. Like telekinesis or rampager or dominator or something like that.
And honestly, generally, even when I have an effect that allows me to move their model, unless there's like a very specific positioning or something that I want, I'll usually just instruct them how I want them to move their model. Just, I don't know, I feel like that's good etiquette.
That's even better, yeah.
If it's not like totally crucial to the game state that it goes exactly where you want, just cause, you know, it's their model, they worked hard to paint it and.
Definitely.
You know, I don't want to get my grubby hands all over it.
You do have grubby hands.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see, what else?
Yeah. Let's talk about dice for a second here.
Oh, you mean like cock dice or just...
Well, cock dice, sure. I mean, everybody has their own cock dice procedures.
I always...
But as I always say at the tournaments, for cock dice, just declare how you're doing it at the beginning and be consistent.
Sure, or, I mean, even the first time it comes up. Like, this is how I'm doing this.
See,
don't change it between games.
See, but that's the thing. It's like, if you wait until you've seen what you rolled, it's really like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, you missed. And it's like, oh, you're a gracious opponent. You're like, oh, I missed. But if you're like, if you hit and it was a high number, you're like, oh, that guy's just
a dick.
So,
yeah,
like,
that's fair.
I mean, you always want to declare it at the beginning. The thing is, mine will always, like, I know some people play that, like, if you can, like, if it's even tilted at all, you have to re-roll it. That's the other rule. It's like, if you can put a dice on top, then it's like, which first of all, that's not a rule anywhere that I know of. Second of all, it's time consuming. It's like, alright, we're gonna see if you can balance a dice on that one. It's like,
clock's ticking.
Can I just re-roll this? Like, I don't care.
Really, if you wanted to be a dick, you could have like one really heavy, like, rubber die. And
it has like grippy things on it.
And then another die that's like all oiled up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, I mean,
oh, that's a one. Let's get out the oil dye.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's one of those things where you just have to, that's where you have to discuss with your opponent before the game starts.
Sure.
In my opinion. Like, that's
much like terrain as well.
Yes, exactly.
Because there are, I mean, War Machine's pretty good about it because basically everything is defined. Except for the whole cover granting obstacle thing. That's weird.
Also, hills are often a point of contention, whether like, towing on is sufficient to get the hill bonus or not.
Correct, and that's something that you should definitely... That specific point is probably the only one
that's hazy.
That's actually... Well, I mean, in the rule book, that doesn't work. You can't tow on a hill.
Yeah.
You have to be... Your entire base has to be elevated an inch higher than your...
But I feel like most of the tournament players have kind of come to the consensus, and I say most, not all by any means, otherwise this wouldn't come up, that... the template on the board is just a representation of where you would have to be to get the hill bonus.
Because, like, honestly, most hills aren't an inch.
That's true.
Tall
most hills,
like, if
they're made out of 3/4 inch, foam.
Then they're for practicality. An inch.
I know, which isn't an inch, so you would just never get elevation.
True, which is not how.
which just means you have an obnoxious piece of terrain that does nothing.
Correct.
Exactly.
Except knock over all of your Angeli.
Sure.
I don't know, and even there are corner case things that come up sometimes, like if a building has windows in it, do the windows actually exist?
Can you shoot through it?
I've run into that one.
Yeah.
Oh man.
My favorite is a building doesn't actually give cover unless you declare it as a cover granting obstacle.
I don't believe that that's true.
It's an obstruction, so.
Obstructions grant cover.
Obstructions grant cover. Like, that's 100%, because I had an argument with someone about that.
And what was that argument about? I had that argument a while ago.
That was when Billy and I were playing the Cowboys and Indians game.
That was stupid. With the Minoth temple in the middle.
Yeah, with the giant Minoth temple. I remember, because I went and I looked it up afterwards and came and told you about it.
Oh. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
The other weird thing that can sometimes happen in the terrain is sometimes, like, terrain, specifically walls, will have that weird lip thing on them that helps broaden their base, especially if they're, like, a wooden fence. And there
are a lot of buildings that have that too. Just discuss, is the whole template a building or does the lip count as open terrain?
Well, cause like 3 years ago at Gen Con, one of my buddies, was playing a match against actually Jason Planzer.
Oh, God.
And, Jason was trying to tow Karchev in to kill, I think, the High Reclaimer. And Jason's like, okay, I'm going to move in here. And the Protector player was like, well, you can't stop on the lip of that base, man. That's the wall. And it's like, no, it's the floor.
The wall is the wall.
And then they got into this argument, and eventually Jason was like, you know what, man, that's fine. We didn't discuss it. And so he failed the charge, which was the bad part. So it's just like one of those small things that rarely comes up.
But, my favorite is that little piece of terrain that Privateer Press puts everywhere that's the little, like,
the Warjack
circular tower with the wall and the fallen over Warjack.
The one that's the perfect length to place a
That's correct.
Heavy.
Yep. It is. It's like the greatest thing to place things over with shifting stones, because everybody's like, there's a building there, whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, Warpulstalker.
I think they actually gave all those terrain pieces away at the last lock and load for prizes in Iron Reiners.
Because those were, like, they're not a bad piece of terrain, you just really have to talk about it with your opponent beforehand.
It's like, is it covered inside of that Warjack? Because he's a wreck.
Can you go inside of that
Warjack? Can you walk inside? Because he's inside a building.
Every time I played it, that whole thing was just
completely impassable.
Because I never want to put a model in there.
That too, they nothing.
It's going to fall over ridiculous, and
bad.
Proxy bases are your friend.
Yes. Yeah. Get a bunch of extra bases. They will save you hours of arguments.
Yes. Just put the base down where you want to charge, then, use your, tape measure or a laser if you have a laser and check the charge and make sure both sides are clear and then you're golden. Then you can also, along that line with your laser or your tape measure, you can put down melee widgets, check for free strikes, all kinds of cool stuff you can do with proxy bases.
And lasers, which we sell for $35 at conventions.
I was trying not to be a shill, but there we are.
Yeah, we'll be... Yeah.
It's all right, I'm low.
Yeah, whatever. Was there something else you want to talk about with dice?
If you're going to use, like, 10 dice, when you roll them... Don't roll them into piles of other dice.
Or into other models.
Or into other models or anything like that. Like, if you're gonna roll to hit and then roll damage with a column included, that's fine. Don't ever be like, the blue dice are my attack roll, and then the red die is if I boost my attack roll, and the black dice are my damage roll, the white die is the location, the yellow dice are my charge damage, and then if I have weapon master, it's an orange die.
Yeah.
No.
And then on top of that, the pink die is the direction, and the magenta die is the distance.
Like, honestly,
you can fuck off if anybody walks up to me doing that.
I have honestly run into,
and I have seen people that do that, and they have this little chart, and they're like, "No, it's right on the chart, man." I'm like, "I don't care." No,
I've had someone ask me that once, and no one's ever really. I've never run into anyone with that's pushy about it. But they're like, "Hey man, do you mind if I rolled?" And then as soon as they hit like the third color, it's like, "No, you can't do that, man." Sorry.
I would let my opponent do that with the chart if they had one, as long as they sit there and wait for me to look at the chart and calculate everything out myself on their time.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. God. It's like, no, if you are diehard about getting that done, I will let you do it, and then I'll make sure, because I'm not gonna just like, if you rolled 15 dice, I'm going to take the time to make sure that you know what you're doing and you're not miscounting either. So it's just that's, I don't know where that came from.
And then are you going to boost to damage? I don't know. Did you declare that?
Who knows? That was a 6, so yes, I am.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just a nightmare. Please don't do it. Location with your damage roll is fine.
Will doesn't even like that.
I don't like that personally, but yeah. God. Just some headaches back in Mark 1 of people with little charts. That,
yeah.
Lonely Monk yelling at them was awesome.
I love Lonely Monk. We're gonna get to see that guy soon.
Yeah, I saw it on his picture feed, he had like, he'd painted up all these trees or put them all together for all the Iron Arena tables at TempleCon. TempleCon has tons of sweet Iron Arena boards.
Yeah.
But
they've been doing it for a while and they keep adding on one or two every year, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And that's, what, 10 years? Yeah. Plus? 8 years?
Has there been War Machine at all of them, though?
No, I don't think so.
I have no idea, honestly. Well, no, obviously, if it's 10 years, because War Machine turns 10 next year. Well, I guess this year. But.
No, this is number 11. Last year was 10, I think.
I have no idea. Nor do I particularly
this
care.
This year's theme is biopunk.
Well.
We'll see how that goes.
I don't even know what that is. Does that involve furries?
Where were we? Oh, yeah, the don't roll
pile. Yeah, don't, I mean, just roll, like, God.
Just roll your.
If it will take you longer to figure out what dice are what, than it would to just roll another set of dice.
No, actually,
just roll the other.
If
set
it would
of
take
dice.
Longer for your opponent to figure out what dice are
sure.
what, and what even pisses me off more is when you're like charging, and then your like location die becomes the regular damage die because you're a weapon mat. I don't care.
Yeah, it's
God.
Yeah.
It makes me angry.
Yeah.
So much.
I want somebody at TempleCon to walk up to Will with a chart with like 12 different things.
I will stab you, Nick. Not them, you. You will get stabbed.
If anybody does that to Will, I will buy you a beer.
Ooh. Oh man, you're gonna be paying out
the first person.
First person.
Okay, there we go.
There you go.
We gotta remember these qualifiers.
That could have been
bad. Buying 2,000 beers.
Oh man. Let's see. What else is tournament important?
I mean, but just to go back real quick, I know Billy does this and it kind of annoys me. Because he has like 10 of the same dice, and then he'll roll like 2, and then 2 dice to roll to hit, and then not pick them up, and then roll 2 more for damage, like in exactly the same spot, which is fine until he's like, my gun mages shoot, roll, 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 and you're like, I don't know which dice are which anymore, because there's 12 of them on the table.
Yeah.
Like, that's right, they're all dead-eyed, so they hit automatically.
I guess they hit
anyways.
And kill everything yeah. anyway, but.
I mean, come on.
Whatever. When you make attacks with your Colossal with ranged weapons, declare which arc you're using.
Yes.
This is my left gun. This is my right gun.
Yeah.
Which gun was that? I don't know.
Well, I didn't kill the guy I wanted to, so
that was
another
the
one.
Other one.
Well, this yeah. is like, this is one of those gameplay things. It's not quite, good etiquette, but it's like, good rules. It's like, make sure when you're moving your Colossal, you face him the way you want. Because it's like, since now you have fields of fire.
It's very important. Much more important than just, like,
basically.
Half of him being the
yeah.
correct direction.
That's like,
if you want to shoot the same thing with both guns, he yep. got to be pointing right at it.
Yep. Yes.
I'm just getting frustrated now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm, like, remembering
tell.
All these things.
This is kind
and
of
I'm
funny.
Like, God, it makes me so mad.
So mad.
So mad.
Don't use coins as focus. That's just a dick move.
No, see, that's not... That's
like
just,
the champion coins?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just, I will...
If I
will
use
like,
currency, that's fine. I don't care.
Sure, yeah.
Pennies
no.
is great.
Don't
use
token.
Your...
The
don't
like,
use...
Don't use your Signar coins. Coin and your Flashpoint oh, coin God. And your... nobody cares. All right.
And you just
I'm glad
like,
you want it, but don't.
And you just look like a grade-A jackass when you do yeah. that. It's like, I...
And definitely
man.
Don't base any of your models on coins, well, or I will hit you.
Like, so don't be an arrogant doucher, like, is pretty much.
So when I first started playing War Machine, like, the first coin I won, I was like, oh, I should use this as a base. And then I, like, thought about it a little bit and talked to some people, and they're like, no,
don't do that.
Oh, that is kind of douchey.
It makes you an asshole.
Yeah, I've met a couple people like that, and there are stories about those guys, like, at Gen Con, and what inevitably happens is, they lose a game quite horribly, and then they just look even worse because, like, no one cares if you lose a game, but if you lose a game while being a huge idiot.
Mike, I'm a big deal in my local meta.
Oh my God. All that's, right. That, don't ever walk up to an opponent and say that either. Like, just, God.
Yeah.
I can't believe that guy said that to me. I just was so surprised that he said it. I was like, oh, okay, man, that's nice.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Speaking of which, I still need to get my shirts made for TempleCon.
Oh, the you
me,
and Jake
for me
shirts?
And Jake, we used to be a big deal in our local metas.
Yeah, you're definitely not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Will's always going to be a big deal just because he owns the store.
Maybe in the local
that meta. Is unfair, yeah. What's the local meta? Like, your store is the local meta? Yes, we'll always be the biggest of deals there.
All right, do we have anything else? I feel like we're kind of flagging on this topic. Maybe we should wrap it up.
I don't know, I feel like ranting a little more.
Okay, go ahead and rant, Will.
No, I think I'm done.
Okay. I think everybody else, if we missed anything, should send in things to do.
If you think of
things, Never mind. I got one. It was because this came up on the big boards recently. It was, don't bend your tape measure.
Someone actually
said, it's like, well, it doesn't say anywhere in the rule book that you can't do that.
Yes, the math is different.
And also they said, well, it actually, the rule book tells you to, use a bendable tape measure, which I don't know what their intent there was there, like why they even said it that way. Because then one of the mods, or one of the Infernals came in and said, no, you definitely don't bend your tape measure because it jacks up the movement completely.
That's something that pisses me off. When somebody's like in base contact with a warjack and then they just measure 2 inches and end up like in front of it.
Well, I feel like ending up in front of it if they're on the side is reasonable. Ending up on the other side, probably not.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're like behind it and
they like walk like, through the warjack.
It takes movement to go around things.
Yeah. But no, like the bendy tape measure is one thing where sometimes it gives you an advantage and sometimes you just get
screwed.
So it's like, it's always better to just take the time and measure out.
Do like 2 inches, one inch, 3 inches, so forth.
And that's one thing that Hacksaw really.
He'll throw you out like immediately.
That's one thing that just like irritates him to no end. Because I remember when he first started head judging at Gen Con 2 or 3 years back, that was his number one pet peeve was don't use the finoodly tape measure.
Yep.
Technique.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyways. Let's see.
Pretty much what I've learned from this episode is that I hate everyone.
Yeah.
Except for you, Mike.
Yeah, there you go. I feel...
To be fair, Will, it takes about 1.57 inches of movement to walk 180 degrees around a warjack.
Which warjack?
Just a given warjack.
A heavy warjack or a light warjack?
Yeah, a heavy warjack.
Okay.
Okay, so the diameter of the base is about 2 inches.
No, the rate, yeah, okay.
So sure. The diameter is about 2 inches. So sure. The radius is about 1 inch.
Sure.
So to walk, so the circumference is pi r.
Okay.
No, it's 2 pi r.
2 pi r. Yeah, I was like, how can you possibly go from the front to the back in 1.5 inches if the base is slightly under 2?
You're right. So it's about 3 inches then.
Okay.
I got my formula wrong. The two goes along with the
pi r
circumference formula.
Yes.
Because it's a derivative of the area.
Shut up, nerd.
Square.
Nerd.
It's been a long time since math.
Exactly.
That's true.
Let's see.
Teammage would be so disappointed.
I was about to say, Teammage would be disappointed in us.
Teammage, can you, like, write me a thing so that I can just show it to people later?
If you're out there listening.
Just write me a thing that's like, you are wrong about walking around warjacks.
Oh, well, thank you for clarifying, because, like, write me a thing.
He got it, Mike. He knows what he's doing.
I just want to say that I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression by doing this episode that...
Nick's a dirty cheater. I'm kidding, it's not true.
I'm sure I've cheated at some point unintentionally, but who hasn't? I don't want to give the wrong impression. It has been my experience at tournaments that the vast majority of, national War Machine players, people who travel around and go to BigCon and whatnot, you know, whether they're Masters winners or just somebody who likes traveling and playing the game, they are almost all excellent people and a lot of fun to play against. So don't take this to mean that there is rampant cheating and douching going on.
Oh yeah, it really doesn't happen.
There's definitely not
almost ever.
Or else we would not go to conventions if that was the case. The biggest thing you see is like usually newer players or inexperienced players or people that are like this is their first time to a convention. They get nervous or they just make these mistakes because they're not used to playing with like more strictly enforced rules.
Well, I mean, a lot of the times when you play casual games at a game store, like if you're in like my biggest annoyance at the moment. If you're in base contact with one of your models and you want to charge a little bit to your left, but you're in base contact to the left of your model, like, whatever, your opponent's going to be like, sure, that's fine, I don't care. But that doesn't fly at national tournaments. You can't do that. There's definitely a large difference between casual games of War Machine and actual tournament play. Like, that 16th of an inch could win or lose the game, or that blocked charge lane could win or lose the game. And we're not here to give you a 16th of an inch or to give you a charge lane. Like, we're here to compete, and that's a lot of the point of some of the Masters events and that kind of stuff. And if you're not okay with that, maybe you shouldn't be trying to get into Masters.
Well, and also, it's one of those things where, so if you feel like you should get that 16th of an inch and you're going to get mad and upset if you don't, you're basically saying you should be allowed to cheat.
Sure.
Honestly, like, I know that's not the intention,
correct.
But
yeah,
like, that's essentially what it boils down to if you, like, drill down to really what you're saying is I should get to add a 16th of an inch to all of my charges that you don't get to add.
Or, I mean, maybe you do get to add.
Sure, but you're but not still, you're not like, playing by the rules at that point.
Yeah. And it's just important that everybody plays by the same set of rules in every game.
Oh, one other thing that's really good to do is when you're charging, if it's going to be a close charge, measure the full threat instead of just the movement and then
Can't believe we missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have reach or even if you don't have reach, you know, measure, you know,
if you're speed 5, measure 8.5 instead of 8.
Yeah.
Just
move them. It mainly has to do with reach though, like, cause a lot of people like,
well, no, I mean, it matters for the half inch.
No, for sure, but that's like harder to discern, I think, when you add that half inch, is like, if it's like, it's a lot different than the 2-inch reach that you're gonna get. Yeah. Cause some people are like, no, you're way out. It's like, no, I have the
extra. And actually, in addition to that, if you have any of the widgets that are like hard plastic,
yeah,
those are much better for measuring stuff than
tape measures
are. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, use the reach widget. If you have one of the Oklahoma pieces, use that to measure stealth. Use that to measure 3 inches into the forest. Yes. Use that to measure sidesteps and all that jazz. It's much more accurate than tape measures.
The other thing that just occurred to me is whenever you're charging or trying to move such that you would either get over a wall or obstruction of some sort, measure from the back of the base.
Yes.
As
to make sure that you can actually clear the wall.
Yeah, to make sure. Yeah, because that usually helps clear things up a lot. Because a lot of people are like, I'm going to move. And once you pick up the model, you're like, see, I can move, and your opponent's like, wait, he can't fit over the wall. It's just like, too late for that, guys.
But basically, it boils down to almost any measurement that you're having difficulty making, you can probably make an easier way if you measure it from somewhere else or using a different tool.
Correct.
So if there's something that you're finding excessively hard to measure on a regular basis, think about it, and you can probably come up with a better way to measure it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we're done being sticklers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some funny stuff.
Yeah.
Like some questions.
Some questions. Questions aren't funny. Questions are serious business.
I don't want to talk about questions anymore.
Okay. So, first we're going to take Tom Guan's question.
Tom Guan.
The first one I answered. He says he loves the podcast, and why the hell wouldn't he?
Because we're awesome.
We're actually pretty bad.
I said, why wouldn't he?
Oh.
Meaning, implying,
because we're pretty awesome.
Implying there's no reason he... whatever.
I'm obviously paying attention.
Yeah.
Yes. He wants to know what we usually see with P. Gatsby.
You don't.
Well, yes. Here's the thing. You don't see P. Gatsby.
I don't know why not.
I feel like that question would better be phrased as, what do you think you should see with P. Gatsby?
Sure. Mike, you're the resident Crix expert.
I play Crix, and that's about as far as I'll go in that claim.
Well, you should take 7 Slayers.
No, this is bad.
Oh,
okay. Well, if you want to do that, I actually don't hate his tier, but that's another discussion.
Oh, I actually think I started to make this offer before the podcast, but got interrupted, so I'll do it now. Mike, if you play that Witch Coven tier list at a national convention, I'll buy you one of your Slayers.
God, there's so many. I need like 9, though. 9 Slayers. Then what would you do afterward?
I'd give it to you.
No, what I'm saying is like, what do you do with 9 Slayers after that tournament?
You keep playing it. Because it's not terrible.
Something. Anyways,
you just talked about it for like 3 hours one week.
I know, because I think it's not that bad. But anyways, back to Tom's question. I think the reason you didn't see Gatsby 1 for a while is because Gatsby 2 was just so over the top, oh my god, pancakes, and he just ran over people.
Sure.
But I think especially-
They do very different things.
Yes. Gatsby 1 is probably one of the toolsiest casters that Crix has. And especially now in the, post-colossal meta, I think you're gonna see a lot more of him because he has the ability to consistently swing armor a lot.
You can get 7 points pretty easily.
Yeah, he has 5 built in just on himself, and 7 when you add Dark Shroud from anything. His feat is good at clearing away some of the infantry that Crix would normally have trouble hitting. His Pal 5s will still, on average dice, kill like Kayazi and Nis and stuff like that, and
easily,
you can get Parasite on them, and they're definitely dead.
Well, I mean, I would save the Parasite for something like Winter Guard, that are armor 12 or 13.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, any of the higher armor stuff, you just can Parasite, and then you feed, and you just still blow them up.
I once had somebody Parasite my Rangers before they feeded.
Well, it just instantly
did that kill all of them?
Well, it did, but he actually still needed to roll 4s to kill, but...
Well, that's still pretty good.
I just thought it was kind of lousy. I was like, I did not think you were gonna Parasite them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It worked out. They all died.
So, with Gatsby 1, you can play pretty much Crix All-Stars. You definitely want probably 2 Arc Nodes, probably the sustained attack ones, because when you put Crippling Grasp on them and Parasite your opponent and run a Bane Thrall next to something, they are 20? Power 20. So, and they have sustained attack, so they will kill whatever it is they're attacking.
It's true.
Actually, Eric, one of the Crix players, in our store has been running this kind of funny but actually really good Gatsby One List, which had the Kraken in it, the two Arknodes, and the Revenant crew.
The full Revenant crew. I don't think it had Rifleman.
No, it didn't have
Rifleman. No, no Rifleman. It did have Ringgrave.
Yes. So, but what he pretty much did is he put Silent Touch on the Pirates, which benefits both their point blank because it's a melee attack, and their sword. They have Gang. And they have...
Silent Touch is plus 2 strength or plus 2 to melee damage rolls?
Plus 2 to melee damage rolls.
Okay.
And then he Parasite whatever. So they would just get in there and just, like, destroy
They kill
turrets.
A lot of stuff. They're actually pretty good. And they're much better if you have something like the Kraken to hide the unit you're behind.
Yeah. Yep. And what Eric would do is he'd walk the Kraken up, fire its gun. The Pirates would go. The Bosun stayed kind of at the lip of the Kraken. But then Gorman would run up and throw smoke in front of him. So he was really hard to kill. The other thing that he asked me, what else did he have in there? Oh, yeah, yeah. The other
he had a cool full unit of Nist that he kept killing with his feet.
Well, those guys pirates out place.
Oh, okay.
The other cool thing is, he doesn't have the ability to automate clouds, but he does have, Breath of Corruption, which leaves a cloud template. So if you're taking the Necrotex to fix up the Kraken, which you probably should do anyways, those, scrap falls that, they come with pretty much function as like, almost like Gatsby 2 clouds, in the way that you can put them anywhere you want.
And he also has a pretty legit assassination run with Breath of Corruption if you just run an Arknode so that it can't drift off of the caster.
It's quite literally the oldest trick in the book.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yes. Well, some of us didn't play in Mark 1.
Not as old as Pop and Drop or
Sure.
Source of
It's the second oldest trick in the book.
Really, if it's older, if it's not older than the Pop and Drop or the Swoosh and Whoosh, then it's the third.
Well, all those were at the same time.
Were they, Will?
They were.
Were they?
They were simultaneous attacks.
No, they were simultaneous releases, what you mean?
Yeah.
With the battle bosses.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. But yeah, those are the things you, like.
Did Arknodes, get released at the same time?
Yes, yeah. They were in the
Quicks. They were in the Quicks battle box.
Okay.
There's three of them.
I don't know.
The battle boxes are all still the same.
Okay.
Yeah. except that all the Merc ones disappeared.
Yeah.
And a Ret one appeared.
Since it's not yet.
I think that's out this month, isn't it?
Yeah, later this month. Late January.
Those models look sweet. But anyways, but yeah, Pete Gatsby, I think he's actually going to see a comeback this year when people figure out that he can consistent, and he's tanky. So,
He can dominate.
Like, unlike, yes, that's true. But like, Denegra
can't talk
1,
about that yet.
Yeah, we can.
I just gave the stink eye.
Denegra 1 similarly can play the, like, the debuff game. But of course she is easier to kill.
She dies to blast damage.
Exactly. And Gatsby 1 has Iron Lich stats, like the 15-16. And he can also assassinate you with his pokey stick.
It's a sustained attack.
I thought he was a 15-17.
No, he's 15-17 when he goes to
33. Three is.
Yeah, like the Iron Lich stats are 15-16. Oh. But yeah, he has a sustained attack with a mat sick. I'm just saying that that's the longest. Because when he didn't play Mark 1, but whenever someone saw like Fioro 1, she's like, oh, she has
Iron Lich stats.
She's 9 Lich, yeah. But the sustained attack mat 6 with 14 focus will definitely kill casters if Gatsby ever hits.
He's also like POW 14, isn't he?
Yes.
So about 16 in Silent Touch.
19 if he's Parasite you. He'll kill some stuff.
He gonna
21
kill some
if there's yeah, Bane.
Shut up, exactly. Nick. We're getting overboard here.
Yeah. So Gatsby 1,
Also, if you have Gorman and you're listening, you rust bomb him.
POW 23 Gatsby.
POW 23 again. That'll kill a Colossal.
That will almost certainly kill a Colossal,
and
yes.
And then he'll teleport away.
Oh, probably, teleport. Actually.
Yes. But Gatsby 1,
I haven't even thought about
it
that.
It honestly doesn't take that many, POW 23 to kill a Colossal.
No.
Like, 5, 6?
Yeah. Something
save like you 4 that. If you roll well.
If you roll fucking bananas, yeah. Sure.
But overall, Gatsby 1, I think he should make a comeback. He's really good. People need to take a second look at him.
So what would be in the list?
For me, or
definitely
for
a Scarlock.
Yes, definitely a Scarlock. Definitely 2
Arknodes.
Definitely
Bane Thralls. At least 2 Arknodes, maybe more.
2 Arknodes, definitely the Bane Thralls.
I think that's really the backbone, and then you can take about anything else you want from there.
Here's the thing, like, unlike Denegra 2, he doesn't have the ability necessary outside of his feet to deal with some of the higher defense models. So things like Bile Thralls wouldn't be a bad choice. I think Blood Gorgers are consistently an underrated unit. With Gang, if you Sighting Touch them, they go up to 15s. If you Parasite, they go to POW 18s with 2 of them. I mean, they're a hard-hitting unit. So I think those would be a good choice for Gatsby's list.
I also really like the Kraken with him. Sighting Touched Kraken is pretty solid.
Yes. The Kraken is an interesting piece. Like,
do we want to give away your Kraken tech?
Which one?
With the machine wraiths?
Yeah, I'll let you explain it, but yes, because you can explain it more eloquently than me.
Yeah.
Go ahead. This is actually pretty funny.
I have not heard this.
So the Kraken has 4-inch reach.
On its
on its activation. So if your opponent doesn't have very many magic weapons, you can run machine rates between your Kraken and their Colossal so that it can't actually fit its base within 2 inches of your Kraken.
That's hilarious.
So you can wiggly fist their Colossal.
While they
and they can't get back to you.
Oh man.
It's actually pretty hilarious.
That seems really janky.
So it is, you can, like, but it's awesome.
So if basically you can set it up so your Colossal is like toe-to-toe with theirs, except 4 inches away, and then just like swamp them with infantry, and then put some machine wraiths in the way, so they can't like trample out, or like just put their base anywhere. Yeah.
The machine wraith thing is a pretty ballsy way to protect your Colossal from other Colossals.
Mike and I were talking about this. About a list with a Kraken, and he's like, God, I got 1 point left. Machine rates are so bad. I'm like, hold on a second here, Mike. Hold on.
I actually don't think they're that bad, but it's like...
They're pretty bad.
I used to run them a lot, like last year, as point fillers, because they were great at just running in mainly as reinforcements and going sitting on a zone.
They're definitely excellent for contesting zones or even controlling zones. But now that the Colossals are out, I'm finding myself wanting a lot more Feralgeists, and machine wraiths are just simply better because they're on a bigger base.
Yeah, it's lulzy. But
did they ever rule that you can trample through a machine wraith? I think you can now.
Can. Okay. I think you can.
Could you used to not?
Well, it's medium base. You can go through it because it's incorporeal, but you would stop when you hit a medium base, whether or not it was incorporeal.
That's kind of dumb.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure they said you can now.
Yeah, all right.
Next question.
Next question. This is from Patrick. We've answered his questions before. He's a Sigmar player.
Hello, Patrick. So, it's nice to see you again.
He is asking us about one of our favorite things.
Uh-huh. My hair?
Whoa. That's only your favorite thing. Oh, well, okay. The rest of us think it's disgusting.
Yeah.
So he's asking us about a Kara Sloan list with the Grenadier boat.
So what is the list specifically?
Get into it.
Oh,
Mike.
Sorry.
Calm down. Mike's reading a White Dwarf right
get
now.
The shit.
All I'm saying is the new Dark Elf. Dark,
you're obviously Dark interested.
Alright, so the list is Kara Sloan, a Stormwall, Squire, Arcane Tempest Gunmages, Arcane Tempest Gunmage Officer, 2 Grenadiers marshaled on the Gunmages, Stormblades, Junior, Reinhold, and 2 Trencher Master Gunners.
I'm sorry, was there a Stormwall in there?
There was. We're getting there. So a couple of points that he brought up with his list that he has identified is that Stormwall and the Stormblades both want Arcane Shield. And that points are tight, so he's considering dropping a Master Gunner for a Trencher Chain Gun and 2 more Storm Gunners.
That's 4 points for 2 points. So both Master Gunners?
Oh yeah, both Master Gunners.
No way. No, sir. You need that plus 2 to hit.
And
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Actually, I like it a lot, but I don't like a Stormwall with him.
And then he says templates which cause fire or do non-blast damage really hurt. I don't understand that necessarily.
He means, like, Ravagor shots that cause fire to everything underneath them?
No, I understand that, but I don't see why that's any more of an issue than anything else, really.
Well, I mean, it kills the Master Gunners.
Okay, sure. I got you. Okay. All right. That's probably...
This is why I get paid the big bucks, Nick.
None of us get paid anything for doing this.
That's true. But if we were, I would get paid the big bucks.
That's probably true.
Yeah, that he would. I wouldn't get paid much.
I don't like Stormwall with Sloan for a couple reasons.
It only gets one shot on the feet.
One. 2, it's all at once in the activation cycle, so you can't quite spread it out for order of activations for your feet. So, personally, I would drop the Stormwall, probably for a Defender and an Avenger, which I think is 18 points, right?
It's 18 points. So, it saves you 1 point.
So it saves you 1 point, which, I mean, I don't know where you're gonna put that 1 point.
I mean, I don't really like Stormblades with her.
Yeah.
Cause she, like, I don't know, Stormblades are, I guess, okay, as a second wave infantry unit, but you don't really have,
Does he have Rangers?
No Rangers. Ooh. In there.
Definitely.
No Rangers. So the Stormblades are just gonna get shot up and die.
True.
I mean, the Stormblades are good for the unexpected, like, you can Deadeye them, and they can assault, and just zap you with their sword guns. But it's not that good. Like, you'd rather be focusing on your war jack.
She can Jedi the gun mages and then feet and then just like go
they
to
go
town.
Bananas.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they will go crazy on it.
Yeah, I cut the Stormblades for some Rangers, for sure. And that saves you a bunch of points, right?
Yeah, that'll save 9 points currently.
Well, plus 5 points for Rangers, right?
Yeah, so.
So 4 left.
And then the one we save from Stormwall.
So 5 left?
5 left.
Well, you could always put in Gorman.
Gorman's pretty good.
You could also put in a Minuteman, which I don't think is necessarily bad with her.
That's true. On the feet, it's actually pretty solid.
Yep. Only range 4 on the guns.
So?
It's only range.
You can go run it up to their caster.
It's also range 6 with fire group.
That's true.
And then it shoots once.
It is PAL 14s. Yeah.
But you can walk and then jump, shoot twice with boosted attack, boost both damage rolls, and then get a third shot from the feet for 3 PAL 14s into a caster.
Maybe that might be alright.
Range 6. It's very far. It reaches about across a zone. Short ways.
Yeah.
17-inch threat. That's not terrible. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah. Alright.
Plus it also helps you with anti-infantry problems, which I have found is a big problem with this list.
Yeah, sure.
It's Flakfield can help with that.
She's gonna get kind of overrun.
How do you feel about the Grenadiers being on the Gun Mage instead of Sloan?
I don't like it because you don't get the feet, or you don't get the shots from the feet, and you don't get fire group.
Yes.
So I would rather have them on Sloan, even though they don't get the shots.
I do guess you get the snipe. Oh, they do? No.
And the push is funny.
That's the funny thing. It's the knockdown when you hit them with the AoE. Yeah.
God.
Because then isn't it that everything underneath the template is affected by the push? So it can be extremely hilarious.
Maybe one. I would not put both. Because you want to be able to boost multiple damage rolls, would be my suggestion. Because they become fairly efficient at killing warjacks and stuff if you can shoot them 6 times with boosted PAL 12s, in addition to Sloan's 2 shots. And, yeah.
So just while we're on the topic of country chain guns, since you mentioned them, so some helpful person on the forum, whose name I should have remembered, posted informing us that the trencher chain gun only has a D3 strafe.
Yeah.
Yes.
However, the Loaded. Grunt can spend his action to give it +3 shots in addition to the range.
No, it's plus D3 shots. Or is it
plus three.
Oh my god.
So it's a D3 +3 shots.
I'm in love again.
So guaranteed 4 shots.
If only we could Jack Marshall the trencher chain gun to the gun mages.
That'd be pretty good.
Then we would be in business.
Dude, you want to be sweet if the grunt from the trencher chain gun could walk over to a sentinel and use that ability on a sentinel.
That would probably cyclone. Make it worth 2 points.
Or on Stormwall.
Why are cyclones so bad?
If the cyclone guy got +3 shots to both guns.
Or the Stormwall. All right, dude.
This is now dumb.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the question.
We don't like Stormwall.
In this list.
In this list.
Obviously he's amazing in basically every other Signar list.
Just because you lose out on volume of shots and order of activation for
correct.
The feat.
And I think like the Avenger is just so good with her. It increases the range, the feat helps out the shot, you can even deadeye it and feat to get it 4 dice to hit without actually having to spend any focus.
And you will assassinate the crowd.
And it's got a big old knockdown template which can really clear line of sight lanes, and then a defender.
Yeah.
And then with the feat actually you can get 2 shots with the Avenger to just knock everything down.
The Avenger's a really good jack and I have honestly not seen it played.
That's because Stormwall came out.
And with Arcane Shield, it's quite durable at armor 22. And then it has a POW 18 melee weapon, so if anything does get to you that's kind of tough, you can really get in there. And it has Stall, which is hilarious against Colossals, by the way.
Well, it's also hilarious because
they become Defense 7 and
they become Speed 1.
I don't think that's what Stall does.
That's what it did in Mark 1.
That's not what it does anymore.
Now you can't run a charge,
I think they become Defense 7 and can't run a charge.
Yeah. That's good enough.
Will's just destroying
the credibility he has.
Back into Mark 1. Yesterday when I was playing as Will tried to put Blightbringer on an angel and then have the angel run into my army and have the Blightbringer follow it.
Yeah, but like, I knew it didn't kill the models anymore. Yeah. I just thought it stayed on it.
Yeah, it just
doesn't do that anymore.
Thankfully, God, that was stupid.
So you can only cast Blightbringer once.
No, actually you can cast it multiple times. It just costs 4 focus.
There's no way to do it within the faction.
Currently.
Which will hopefully stay that way.
Yeah. Multiple Blightbringers.
2 Blightbringers.
That is why you guys will never get a focus coupon.
It's true. So that Saren can't cast Blightbringer twice?
Alright. So.
Next question.
I hope that answered your question, Patrick. We kind of dirtled around a little bit. As is our way.
it's the road to war way.
So next up is Roger. So before Will broke Usain Bolt's land speed record for faction hopping onto and then off of the Retribution bandwagon, he brought up a thread about
Hold on, real quick. There was a Retribution bandwagon?
Yes, when Colossus came out and people figured out Ossian could shoot them to death.
But people still haven't figured that out because they all told me I was an idiot on the forums.
That is true.
Ossian shoots Colossals to death.
Ossian shoots everything to death. He's so good. Sorry, continue.
Basically, he wants Will to talk about his wacky DAC, seven Griffin list, how to play it, good matchups, bad matchups, how to pilot it, and then he asks, for a quick overview of the Ossian list that you like to pair it with.
Sweet.
So, I am going to go away and watch some TV or something, and we'll come back in 20 minutes when Will is done.
Or I can actually just write a forum post about it later. Because that's quite a bit to talk about.
At least go over the Griffin list now.
Okay. So, I mean, the idea behind it is obviously to build up synergy. And between Virus's 6 focus, Silas upkeeping for free, and the 2 Arcanists, you have 8 focus really to play with on your 7 Griffins. So you can give one of them 3, 2 of them 1 from the Arcanists each, and you really have 3 more to play with, which you can kind of spread out however you like. I personally really liked making 2 sets of 3. And I had Linissa in the list for free charges, which allowed you to upkeep synergy for free, walk up with one of your griffins, or charge with one of your griffins, because they have powerful charge for +2 to hit, boost the hit if you didn't charge, get your first synergy that way, get your second synergy that way. And then after they're mat 8, you can really start doing stuff like one of them just walks up and hits a warjack or something, just to build your synergy chain, and then the last, like, 2 griffins get in there and just kill a heavy each. The reason, like, you think, but Will, they're speed 6 with reach, like, that doesn't really work. You would be surprised. Like, it really does work. And it's really consistent in doing that, because even if you miss the first one, like, you miss the second one, like, you still have mat 6 warjacks and stuff that can really start getting in there. And each griffin getting 2 attacks really helps the consistency of starting the synergy chain and really keeping it going. Because you can make 8 attacks before you really need to start actually hitting hard, basically. Because 4 of your griffins can walk up there and do that. And then it's got 2 Aspis in it, which are shield guards that help out with Virus. And it allows you to really play Virus, very aggressively with those Aspis. Because, I mean, he's a 15-18 already, with 18 hit points, which is, like, impossible to kill in the first place. He can camp a couple focus, 1 or 2, easily. Maybe even 3 if you're not giving out any to a second griffin. And then inevitably you have 9 light warjacks in your army. One of them is going to die, and then Virus can go stand in its wreck marker for cover. Which is totally unfair, because now he's at 19-18 with 18 hit points.
It's about as good as it gets.
That's bad. If only it was on a hill in a cloud, then it would be in even melee. Better.
In well, melee. Then the cloud would be redundant, because you have cover.
Shut up, Nick. I'm just quoting the quote. Now you made me lose my train of thought. Oh, yes. Linissa, very important in the list, because free charges are awesome. And the +2 speed can really help you get griffins to places that they should never really get, because they're speed 6, +2 speed, +1 focus gives them 2 more speed for speed 10, +a 3-inch charge, +2-inch reach makes them a 15-inch threat range. And they do have to stay in Virus's control area, though, to get the synergy bonus, so you gotta be careful that you don't charge out. They're also Pathfinder, which is bullshit. And they ignore forests and cloud effects for line of sight because of Bird's Eye.
As long as their G units intact, they have Pathfinder.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
The other part is Bird's Eye.
Bird's Eye is
Virus ability.
Yeah. Pathfinder on those things is like, even if you were to try to do this with something like, well, there's many reasons it doesn't work with Amon. But
for the Pathfinder is like a huge help to this entire list. You also get this kind of awkward, inhospitable ground effect as your army starts to die.
Yeah.
Where you just have peppered the board with wreck markers and none of their models can really get anywhere and all of yours have Pathfinder.
And even though like griffins aren't the most survivable thing.
They're pretty survivable.
Well, I mean,
they have 30 boxes at armor 18.
This is the thing. There's just so many
hit
points.
They have 30 boxes?
Yeah.
No, that's Aspis's, isn't it?
Both of them.
No, Griffin's only have like 24. Like,
I'm gonna go check. Oh yeah, no, it's 26, because they're missing the 4 from the shield.
Yeah. Here's the thing is like, it's just so many boxes to have to chew through.
I mean,
like even
so let's say like your Bronzeback charges one of them and kills it. Okay.
I think a Bronzeback should kill like 2.5.
If it can get them in melee.
I mean, that's beat back.
Sure. So your Bronzeback charges and kills 2 of them and then dies.
That's a 2-point swing for you?
Yeah, that's a 2-point swing for me.
And then, he didn't lose anything irreplaceable.
Correct. And I didn't lose my Bronzeback. I lost 2 griffins, which I have 7 of.
Sure.
And then the next turn, like, Malakarn comes in and kills 2 more.
And then runs away.
And then maybe runs away or maybe not. But he probably, he's probably not getting 15 inches away unless he's playing Pima Keda and you can fuck off, Nick. And then Malakarn dies to two griffins.
I love Pima Keda so much.
Yeah.
And at that point, your Aspis are probably in there helping out the chain. And then, so we've talked all about the Warjacks right now. And so, I mean, the situation I just gave, you lost four griffins and you killed two of their heavies, of which they probably have three. Like, and you still have five Warjacks left. Plus, God forbid Virus ever gets in there at the end of the synergy chain and is like Matt 17, Pow 22 with 7 attacks. Like,
pretty good.
He is ridiculous once he actually gets in there. But really the key to playing the list, like the Griffins are great and the Aspis are great and Virus is great. There's really two things that really make the list hum. One is Virus's feat really gets you these really super strange assassination runs. And or, like, get a griffin to somewhere that they could not possibly ever imagine a griffin could get. Because when you're in Victor's walk up, which is the last thing in the list, and they start shooting stuff, and your opponent's like, ooh, I have anti-infantry stuff, I better kill those Invictors. And then all of your griffins start moving around, moving out of charge lanes, your Invictors start moving to block other charge lanes, and then when that Invictor dies, then the griffin moves. It just really messes with your opponent's head.
And the Invictors are kind of the secret hard-hitting tech, because they're guaranteed to have flank all the time.
You have 7 Warjacks with reach? 7.
So they
and a griffin with 1 hit point still turns on flank.
Yeah.
Like, wow. So they're Mat 9 POW 10 weapon masters, basically, in this list, that also have range 10 POW 12 guns that can CRA to Rat 9, or Rat 8 POW 14 guns that reroll fails to hit, so they can basically clear any tar pit that gets in front of you that you need to clear charge lanes for your griffins. And then on the mini-feed turn, you can just, like, put 2 POW 18 shots into a Warjack, or put a POW 20 shot into their caster, or, like, there's just so many different things that you can do with Invictors in this list that nobody has really ever done before. And they really turn the list on. They make it really, really hum very, very beautifully.
So what you're saying is, the Invictors make, the Virus list nipples hard?
Yeah.
You said it turns them on.
Well, that was sufficiently awkward.
I'll probably cut that out.
That's a good call.
Nah. See how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, so next question. Right.
And Ossian has a bunch of shooting.
Yeah, and actually he sent in the Ossian list, which is pretty much your Ossian list. Pretty close.
It's Ossian, Banshee, AFG, 2 units of Stormfalls, full Halberdiers with a UA, full Mage Hunters with a UA, 2 Arcanists.
Ion and Holt.
A Solus and an Ion and Holt?
That's about it. He has Eris 2.
Nope.
But only 1 Arcanist and no Solus. So I think you have...
I had 2 Solus and 2 Arcanists.
2 Solus and 2 Arcanists.
I think that's correct.
And he also has Hypnos in the list instead of the AFG.
Yeah, so it loses a point. Or the same points. Yeah, AFG is... Hypnos is not good.
Just in general, like, or in this list?
Just in general.
Really?
Well, okay. He's terrible when he's not with Ossian. And then when he's with Ossian, I guess he's at least okay. But, like, he just doesn't do anything. Like, you can't give focus to your Stormwall. Okay. Great. You're gonna kill that Stormwall.
Yeah,
it's going to die.
It's kind of redundant, you know?
Like, your bronze back can't be forced. Well, let's enrage it and kill Hypnos with its initials.
I have done that.
I mean,
my favorite thing ever.
I mean, it's if you have a Banshee or the AFG instead of Hypnos, like, you momentum knock down the Bronzeback. Now the Stormfall Archers kill it. Cool. Which is better? It can't be forced, or it's dead. And then Hypnos doesn't do anything in melee. And all of these people who, like, live the dream by having Eris 2 run up to Warjacks and then Hypnos walks up and punches them, like, that's cute. That's never gonna work against, like, solid good players. It's just not gonna happen. I mean, Hypnos is a speed 5, non-reach, non-Pathfinder Warjack. If you can get it into melee with 2 of their heavies, or even 1 of their heavies, something went wrong for them in the game already and you should have won. Like, that's just not, like, that's living the dream.
We should just not say anything and see how long Will rant on this.
I will rant about that for quite a while.
Okay. Moving on.
Yes, that's
fine. So...
Really, I should be on Focus and Fury. Because I could just yell about things forever.
There you go. You should try and guest calling on that.
They don't podcast anymore.
I know.
I know.
What's the Mike's chagrin?
I'll buy Beanish a beer and then I'll be on their next episode in 3 years.
Hey, if you want to like contact Beanish, try to get Beanish on.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be awesome. I'd be down for that. 100%.
We could have him talk about some turd burglars.
Sure.
Sweet. Yeah. Nigel along for that one.
All right. So you realize now that we have a podcast, we're not supposed to fanboy about other podcasts.
No.
That's not going to stop me.
I mean, have you met that guy?
It's true.
That will not stop me in the slightest.
When you get a Focus and Fury tattoo, you can't no longer be on this podcast.
All right, anyway, so let's get on to the next question. I believe
That's it. We're done with questions.
Mike, I think you have a challenge you want to talk about.
Okay. Are we going to move on to what we're working on? Because that's where this would go.
Oh, I thought you already talked about your challenge with Flans. Is that what you're going to talk about?
Jake mentioned it briefly, but it's been more or less solidified.
Okay. So it's going out on the internet. That means you can't change it.
No, definitely not. I guess this is going to happen at TempleCon. So
apparently.
In 4 weeks. So the challenge is have to beat...
3 weeks?
3 weeks, I think.
4 weeks. I counted today.
No, it's 3 weeks.
It's like the 1st of February is when we leave.
Oh, that's right.
Because there are two more rounds of playoffs, and then the Pro Bowl, and then the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Nerd.
So I guess that's 4 weeks.
Boosh, I was right. Anyways, so...
Fuck the Pro Bowl, by the way.
Okay, I don't know. But anyways, so the deal is, Flanzer, who's the champion of all things that people think are not so good.
In Kador and Trolls.
In Kador and Trolls. Decided
we're probably going to have him on sometime to talk about Trolls again.
Yeah. Oh, he and I have a yelling match to have, apparently.
But anyways, so he's taken up the challenge that I made, like, 6 months ago or whenever our Kador episode was, when I was saying Zarkova was bad, which she is bad. Everyone agrees she is bad. I think Flanzer, even deep down inside, would agree that she's not good, at least. So he's decided to take me up on the bet, which the original challenge was, if you can beat me in a game, I will buy you a conquest. Limited to the first person who beat me with it. Well, Flanzer doesn't need a conquest, so it kind of...
Spiraled out of control.
Spiraled out of control once again. And if I win, I get to shave Flanzer's ridiculous hair.
At TempleCon.
At TempleCon. What I will do with the hair... There have been many suggestions.
I don't want to talk about it. It's really gross. And...
Teammate has had the best suggestion far of cutting into little pieces and then flocking my army with it.
That's so disgusting.
that's definitely not healthy or safe. Maybe it's safe, but it's definitely kind of gross.
It's healthy and safe, but gross.
Yeah, but anyways, but if I lose, I have to get a tattoo of some sort somewhere... That has
the likeness of Flanzer.
I agreed that it would say, like, my initial thing was like, it was like, I got Flanzered or something, but have it in Kador runes, or something that was not so obviously terrible that it would just ruin the rest of my life if anyone ever saw it. I already agreed that I was not gonna beat him with Gatsby 2, cause that would just be like, oh, you didn't beat Zarkova, you just played Gatsby 2.
I have no idea why he agreed to not play Gatsby 2.
I mean, it's just...
If a tattoo is on the line, I'm going balls to the wall.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you didn't win the... it's just...
Sure you did.
Not in the spirit of the bet.
You
like,
won the spirit of the bet? He's shaving his head and you're getting a tattoo.
Dude, there's...
This is a shitty bet
no,
for
man,
you.
There's just like no
I feel like that bet would be better if it was made against Will, cause Will's hair won't grow back.
That's true, I'm bald as fuck.
You are, it's gross. Oh. But anyways, I am just like, I am mostly certain that I will beat Flanzer in this.
Like, I'm rooting for you, but I'm not gonna lie. Like, I want Flanzer to win.
If I was to make a bet, if I was a betting man, I'd bet on myself.
But, never mind.
Yeah.
Speaking of betting, John Damaris owes me a dinner because the Texans won.
And the Bengals didn't.
Believe me, nobody cares about this.
Oh, I do.
That no one really understands.
We're
this.
Probably going to lose the Patriots next week. But hopefully not. By the time this releases, we'll know.
Alright. But anyway, so what I'm working on is... Oh, the other stipulation was I couldn't go out of my way to specifically design a list against Zarkova, which I'm not even sure how one would start.
I still couldn't even tell you what she does.
Like, I did forget how good her feet was, so I guess I need to make sure I don't bring any guns in my Crix list. So
oh, that's
I don't
good.
Get Winter's Owl.
Or at least bring guns where you can buy the initials.
Exactly. Like
playing hordes.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's like,
God, she's so bad.
I just don't understand like how I would even begin to design specifically for Zarkova. Unless I knew like he's taking a tier list or something specific.
It's so bad.
But in terms of like what I've been playing, recently, I've been trying to work up a list to go alongside Gatsby 2, in a two-list format, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be Gatsby 3 with the Mechanithral train. It's awesome. Like,
it's basically the next iteration of his Scar horde list.
Shitloads of dudes.
It's 3 minimum unit Mechanithrals with 9 Brute Thralls, the full Blood Gorgers with Garlak.
No, I thought we were taking this out for Slayers.
They might turn into Slayers. It's just choking the board. Like, yesterday against Will.
It's a problem.
Yesterday against Will, I kind of had, a bad match. I just hate Saren. Like,
Saren poops on crits.
More than you can possibly imagine. I cannot stand that caster. More than anyone else in the game.
Oh, I once saw somebody playing a Denegra kill an angel under Saren's feet with, Bile Thralls.
That was Eric. Eric actually told me how to do that with Terminus. I went and said Terminus nice to the angels to give them the -2 armor.
All over him.
And then the Bane Thrall officer man ran up next to him, and he survived 2 Bile Thrall purges before he died. So they were at -4 armor. So I was at dice -1 on Bile Thrall purges, and I killed one, and the other one I just like blew its spirit out, so it couldn't do anything.
Wow.
It was
that's pretty well.
It was hilarious. But yeah, anyways, Gatsby 3, I'm pretty sure he's gonna be my, #2 at, TempleCon. But we'll see. I still have 4 weeks to jump back to the Scar train. I did think about Peace Scar today with Brute Thralls.
They're pretty good. I will admit, Brute Thralls.
Power 19?
Or a Power 24.
Brute Thralls are significantly better than I thought.
They will punch the poop out of heavies.
Maybe Zarkova is too.
No, she is not.
I'm pretty confident about that one.
You don't even know what she does.
That's fine. I knew what Brute Thralls did.
I was talking with my buddy Clinton, who worked up in Oklahoma today. He was like, well, just make sure you keep all your troops more than 0.5 inches away from each other and you'll be okay. So she can't influence them and have them kill each other.
Oh my god, she has influence. I forgot about that. The only warcaster / warlock that should ever cast influence is Morvana. That's it. Don't like the Cephalix overlords have influence or something?
Doesn't the war with Siren have it?
No, she has seduction.
That's
the one where they eat the move.
It's also known as booby time where I'm from.
It is booby time. I forgot about that one.
It's
yeah.
Like you just walk up in star action, you get to make an advance with them. You can booby time Lord of the Feast, and that pisses me off. God damn it. I remember Josh Russell did that to me, and I was like, really?
That's awesome. Really? Because isn't Lord of the Feast Thresher attack, just whenever he makes an attack, he does it?
Yeah, but you can't make an attack with booby time.
Oh, you can't?
You just get to move him.
Oh, okay. That still seems good.
Yeah.
But anyways, so, that's what I'm working on, Gatsby 3.
Yeah.
Will, what are you working on?
I don't really know what I'm working on at the moment. I'm really sold on my Saren list right now. I'm really sold on my Vale 2 list. Jake wants me to try out P-Vale.
And?
What?
And Railcaster, Reyes.
And Reyes, and a P-Lilith tier list. And Jake has a long list of things he wants me to try. Okay?
I feel like Jake is just really excited that Will's playing Legion now because he has somebody to playtest for him.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I have played 11 games in the past 3 days. Maybe 10.
I think that's more games than I've played in the last 3 months. No, that would encompass more.
You won the hardcore.
Yeah.
That was at least like 5.
I was only 4 because there was that one round where everybody lost.
God.
That was the round where three tables
went to time.
So. Oh, I still need to mod myself that pain giver with Lola.
Oh god. Yeah, I don't know. I really like P-Lilith still, but I think she's gonna end up getting cut. Her power level is just not the same as like Vale 2 and Saren and...
Well, nothing is Saren, like...
Saren's power level is so insanely high, and then Vale 2 is, like, she has purification. Done.
Vale 2 is super...
And also into the rest of her spell list is also bananas good.
Sure, but, I mean, she has purification.
However, Will's list is very a lot... Will's Vale 2 is quite different because, one, it's not tier.
It's true.
And two, does that one have a Ravagor at all?
No.
So yeah, it doesn't have a Ravagor at all.
No Ravagor in my Vale.
And why is that?
And I'm running a Ravagor and a Bolt Thrower in Saren.
And why doesn't your Vale list have a Ravagor?
I don't know.
What is in the rest of the list?
I don't think it needs it.
Why not?
It just doesn't. If you want to shoot things with PAL 15s, you get Obliterate.
Yes.
Those don't cost any points.
They cost 4 Focus. Or 4 Fury.
Sure, but... What is Vale going to do with her Fury besides upkeep some spells and then shoot an Obliterate at something?
Cast Tenacity.
I actually don't even think I have a Shredder.
You have the pot, don't you?
No, there's a Shredder. I don't know. I haven't played that list in like a couple days. God. Can we talk about Kallus for a second here?
Sure.
That guy. His tier list. For one, that army probably costs more than the P-Horlock tier list. Only because you have to have 35 incubi.
Yeah, you do. Because whenever anything dies in his feet.
So the tier list that I came up with was a full unit of legionnaires with UA, two max units of swordsmen, no UA, a Ravagor, two bolt throwers, and some other solos that are inconsequential. But I played one game with it and it was alright. I'm definitely gonna change around the beasts if I end up playing it again, but it also has 10 incubi just in the list, because incubi are incredible. Yeah. It jams possibly harder than Mike's Crix lists.
It jams in a very different way.
Like, there's 32 infantry models running at you that are relatively difficult to kill, because swordsmen are def 14, and then
when they mini-feed,
legionnaires are armor 20 when they mini-feed. And then if you get Kallus up there and they're unyielding, they're armor 22, which is silly. So all of that's screaming up the board. The legionnaires get advanced move from the tier list, and yeah, it just rams down your throat, and then the turn that you're going to engage it, he feats, and everything you kill turns into an incubi. And all the incubi become def 14. And then he has dark guidance.
But,
fuck.
Like, here, the thing is, like, unlike my list where you can just output a whole bunch of attacks in one turn, like, you need sustained, like, firepower against wills because it happens in two waves. The first one where you kill them all down, the second one when the incubi will pop up and just...
So when you're coming in, the 10 models or so you kill on your first turn of engagement turn into incubi because I have 10 incubi in the list. And then the second turn of engagement, I feat, and every model you kill becomes an incubi.
Even other incubi?
No.
Except other incubi, yeah. So, and incubi are mat 7, pow 11 with combo strike. With two attacks, obviously, because they have combo strike. Like, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah, for sure.
Nick's smiling at me. I don't understand.
I'm just staring at Will and seeing, trying to make it feel awkward.
Well, it worked. Why are we having social experiment on Will today?
All right. Anyways, so incubi. Play them.
Incubi. I will tell you right now. People are going to be surprised by my incubi.
Not so much anymore.
No, they're going to be like, that dude's full of shit. I'm like, okay. Good luck, buddy.
All right, now we get to Nick.
Nick hasn't played a game of War Machine in 2 months, so he's not working on shit.
It hasn't been 2 months. Will and I put together a list with Zol. That was kind of fun.
Did you play
Archidons.
It?
No.
He does have two Archidons.
Nick will come up to the store. I'm like, hey, Nick, want a game? And I'll say, no. And then I'll bother him for 2 hours, and then Nick will finally go home.
I'm just uninspired by Scorn at the moment. I mean...
Well, would you like to play any other faction in the game?
You do have Signar, you have Stormwall. That guy's awesome.
Stormwall.
You need a second one. Actually, I would really appreciate it if one of you guys would run Ehaley 2 Stormwalls so I could play test against it.
Why doesn't Billy practice?
Because Billy doesn't ever come to the store.
Fact.
Guys always
do. I don't know. No, but I don't know. Scorn just hasn't really changed at all in a long time, and I'm not finding them that interesting to build this for right now. I think it's mainly that I'm more looking forward to stuff coming out in the future, which I can't actually build lists with yet. Like the Mammoth and the Incendiari.
And Makeda. You can build lists with the Incendiari. We know everything about them.
Well, but so we're preparing for TempleCon right now, and I can't use them at TempleCon. So.
Fair. It's fair.
You can't use them at the TempleCon either,
just in case anyone else was confused. When people say incendiary have auto fire, they mean automatic fire on their weapons.
They mean continuous
effect fire. Not the when you aim you get D3 shots, because that confused the hell out of me for since last week.
Sure. Because Will's dumb.
Because I'm like, oh, they cause continuous fire, and they have auto fire.
That'd be insane, actually.
Yeah, that's why I was like, god damn, that unit's good.
You take the Red Rocket Man and you
snipe them all.
Yeah, we're good.
And then all get really D3 shots and just explode entire swaths.
Let's face it, if anything's better than 2D3...
It would be 5D3? 6D3.
It's 6 auto fire D3.
Yeah, no, I'm actually really looking forward to the Incendiari more now that I think about them, because one of Scorn's big problems is that they're not necessarily that great at clearing jams.
They're getting more and more infantry hate, it seems like.
Well, everybody's getting more infantry hate, but...
Chris has not gotten any infantry hate.
Like, Annihilators are okay at clearing jams.
You have Bile Thrall.
I was just saying, we haven't gotten anything new.
But Annihilators are also very prone to dying.
Which Incendiari are...
Less so. They also do it at range, which makes them better.
Like, I don't know about better, but...
You can kind of clear off the first wave.
Correct.
And then they can probably get a second round of shooting in, and then they can go into melee.
And they're not bad in melee, right?
They're mat 7, pow 11. So, I mean, they're
That's
not...
That's legit.
They're not fantastic. Like, they'll
kill infantry.
They'll kill infantry, yeah. They're not going to be putting down any heavies or anything.
And then with Death Ward, they're Death 14, armor 17? With 8 hit points?
Yep.
Yeah, that's legit. I like it. I like it a lot.
And then hopefully we'll have Mammoth... Oh, we may have to record more for this episode if the Mammoth gets spoiled this week.
And Nick crashes.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, that's fine. We just meet and talk about it, and then you can edit it in.
We just Skype
it. Yeah, we can just Skype it.
Fine.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, it's easier.
And I will say, I think the podcast sounds better when we Skype.
No, it doesn't, because sometimes you get that delay.
Sure.
Which was not nearly as bad as last time as it was with Hacksaw, where there was, they'd be like, Hacksaw and you talking, dead space. Hacksaw and you talking, dead space. Hacksaw and me talking, nothing. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad with Hacksaw.
It wasn't.
All right. So, I think that's it for us. Send us more questions. We answered all three of the questions we had today. aroadtowar@gmail.com is the appropriate place to send them, or post them on the forums, or PM me, or Will. Don't PM Will. He never checks the mom
that's
forums.
That's not true. Not the mom forums. Yeah. On the big boards, I'll be there.
PM Mike or me on the mom forums or the big boards. We're both on there all the time.
Yeah, we are.
That's true. Also, if anybody wants to volunteer for Call In and Argue with Will segment, please. Yeah. I would love my first victim.
We got the first victim lined up. It's going to be JB Flans.
JB Flans.
Let's see.
I would love my second.
Do we have some cons to talk about?
WarGamesCon.
WarGamesCon.
Is later, and it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. It's the week after Lock and Load.
Uh-huh. And it's a War Machine Weekend qualifier.
It's a War Machine Weekend qualifier.
There are just too many conventions all next to each other this year.
Yeah. Welcome to every year, Mike.
I'm just saying, like, this War Games Con was not 4 days after Lock and Load last year.
It's true.
Shut up. We're trying to talk about War Games Con. Stop your bitching. We're working on finalizing the event schedule for War Games Con. That'll probably be up.
It should be posted before this podcast.
Yeah, probably before this podcast. I think we're going to try to have a Who's the Boss on Saturday.
We're going to try. If I can talk to Andy and get him down here, we will definitely do it. If not,
we might still do it.
I own a lot of casters. Let's just put it that way.
Will also owns a store.
It's true. It's true. So, we're also giving out some cool widgety bits for signing up for War Machine events at WarGamesCon.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Supposedly. This is what I've been told.
Okay.
I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but
sure.
It's supposed to be in the works.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna be there, we're gonna be running events, we're gonna be doing pretty close to what we did last year. We're gonna have a hardcore using the new 2013, we're gonna have several Steamroller events using the new 2013.
I think we're gonna have a hardcore on Friday, in the morning, slash afternoon, then we'll have, probably some sort of casual event in the evening. Did you hear back from Ben about his event?
I haven't heard back from him yet, but I'm assuming he will run Blitz Machine again, which was a lot of fun.
We'll hopefully have Blitz Machine cool. Friday afternoon, or Friday evening. Then Saturday morning, I think we're gonna do, a team tournament.
Yep. And then
a Masters on Sunday.
Masters on Sunday. Saturday night will either be Who's the Boss or some other quirky fun format.
Indeed.
And then Fridays, we're probably gonna get some kind of like 35 point flank tournament going.
You mean Sunday?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Not Friday.
Yeah. Anyways,
I'm retarded.
We'll post the full details and actually give you the real schedule next time.
The deets.
What else is there? TempleCon's coming up.
TempleCon's coming up.
We'll see hopefully a lot of you there. TempleCon's always a lot of fun.
I'm going to lose every game I play at TempleCon?
That's not true. I might do that.
You're not going to play any games. Does that count as losing
quite
them all?
Possible.
No, that counts as winning and drinking.
Fair.
Maybe I'll just go all in on the Gentleman Solar with the drinking.
During tournaments, just get schwasty.
Yeah.
Good luck beating Mark and Colin. God.
Well, they also played.
Those guys were like, they played in every event, and then each one had like 27 drinks for the weekend or something.
Yeah. Who ended up winning that?
I think Colin won. Colin like 27 won. Points.
But Eric won overall, right? For 2012.
No, that was the first of the $2013.
No, 2012 I smashed.
Really?
Yeah. I even have it in my wallet. Oh God!
We've explained the Gentleman's Dollar.
Yeah, we have. Okay. Times.
Hold on, but we got to count it up. Here.
I thought Eric won it.
No, Will definitely won the Gentleman's Dollar.
I won it at War Machine Weekend.
Yes,
in 2011.
All right.
Oh yeah, which I was the reset. It doesn't reset until
And then I won it at TempleCon and Adepticon and GenCon. No, I'm sorry. Eric won it at War Machine Weekend, and I won it at TempleCon, Adepticon, GenCon, and then actually we never wrote on there, but there was supposed to be Clash for the Cure, which was Billy, I think.
I believe. But
yeah. Anyways, also in addition to that, I'm running a 50-point steamroller specialist at Asgard on the 26th, which I don't know how many, if any of you actually live in Houston, but if you do, you should come to the tournament on the 26th at Asgard.
It'll be fun.
It's gonna be sweet.
It'll be a thing.
A little bit of specialist practice before TempleCon.
Yeah, yeah!
Also, if the 2013 rules aren't out yet by then, you will be able to see the beta document here.
Sure.
At the event. So.
Yep.
That we can do.
Yeah, convention season is almost upon us.
You mean February through November?
Yeah, exactly. I remember when convention season was not quite as long.
Yeah.
And you got more than 2 months off. But yeah, I've had just enough time off to recover from last year's Blitz. And this year...
And it's about to begin again.
Like, it really is. Because this year, I don't know if I'm going to make it to the Mayhem Cup in March.
March.
I'm going to Hawaii, so I only get to go to 3 cons this year.
I will probably go to the Mayhem Cup in March.
I will probably be there as well.
I might, depending on how my work schedule. Texas has to take that thing home, so we don't have to travel up there again next year.
Yeah!
Or whatever, we have to run that thing again.
Oh, we can have send Team U.S. Virgin Islands to the Mayhem Cup.
Oh, God. But that didn't happen, right?
No, it didn't.
Okay. Speaking of which, what is going on with the WTC? Do we even know?
No, so what's going on with the WTC is the committee is selecting the first team. So that's like Hacksaw and Flanzer.
Which is 5 months late now.
Whoever else. And then after Flanzer selects his team, Matty K is going to get his own team.
The commish?
The commish.
Oh, God.
Is going to form his own team of young up-and-coming scrappy War Machine players and old washed-up War Machine players.
Like
and
you, Will.
Will will be on that team.
The washed-up old War Machine.
He'll be the washed-up grizzled veteran.
And then yes. Tom Guan and Craig will be the young up-and-coming young players.
Oh, Lord.
Who are young.
And then Matty Casey is going to challenge the committee team for the right to represent Team USA.
And then I'm going to die playing Chuck. I think that was part of your storyline, right?
Let's see. What was it?
Like in the finals, I have to play Chuck and end up dying from the stress.
The scrappy team ends up losing when Will fails to roll a 5 to win the game. Tom Guan, however, will beat Jake with a Siege Animantrax. Oh,
God. Awarding him 5 Siege Animantraxes.
So, and then it sets up for,
the training scene.
No, at the beginning of the sequel, Team USA gets beat so bad by Team Germany that like 3 of them die. Which forces the committee Team USA to join together with the scrappy Team USA to avenge them next year.
You've obviously thought about this.
This is impressive.
Far too much.
This is what I've been doing instead of playing War Machine.
I would rather you play War Machine, Nick. At least don't get called washed up then.
Well, I had more tournament success than you did last year.
Actually, I think we had exactly the same amount. We both won a hardcore.
That's true.
I won Lock and Load.
Oh, that's right.
I won War Machine Weekend.
But I got Mage Hunter Lock and Load as well.
That's true. I qualified for the Invitational.
I don't want to talk about it.
Boosh. You just got cold.
That's true. That's true.
All right, this podcast has become silly.
Indeed. This is Road to War, episode 21, signing off.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Are we going to get pie?
Yes.
I might come with you, but I have pie at home, so I don't know that I'll get
so
pie.
So get a different type
of
pie.
Son of a bitch.
So do what I normally do. I get a different type of pie there and bring another type
home. But Bayou Goo is the best type of pie.
Or should I go play Mark Breer in a game?
Is it 10 o'clock yet?
It's 8:45. You have time
for
pie.
Yeah.
Well, I just told them we were going to play whenever we were done.
Okay. Well,
we go get pie first.
And take it to the store.
And then I need to get back
to
the
we got to eat there.
Why do you have to eat there?
Because I want
to
eat there.
You always have to eat there, Nick.
You just want
to
eat there because of the sassy waitress.
Yeah, but I don't want dinner this time. I just want pie.
Sassy waitress or waitress that lives in SWAT that tells us how scary it is. That's the new waitress.
Wait, she lives in what SWAT?
Southwest A-Leaf.
Oh.
The super scary part that none of us should go to.